City Manager Nate Schneider is here. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing good. The mayor, Linda Taylor, is here. How are you doing, Linda?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
We were just talking before we get the agenda about the Christmas lights parade, the Noel on Norris activities. I didn't have a chance to be down there because we had Bison basketball that night, but you guys were telling me this is a larger crowd than Heritage Days.
Well, it looked like it. You know, I rode in the float for the Heritage Days for the class of 93, and then also I was in this parade as well, too. And it looked like it was deeper. Now, Heritage Days stretched all the way down C Street, so maybe I'm off a little bit, but definitely there are more people concentrated at the very front of the parade. So it was really neat to see. Good weather. I mean, the weather really helped out a lot this year. We were fortunate because that next day it got really windy and a little bit chillier.
Yeah.
So we were very ecstatic to have nice weather that day.
That's great. Linda, did you have a chance to be
it
there?
It was wonderful. Uh-huh. I could not believe all the people. And then afterwards, if you tried to go somewhere to get something to eat, you were out of luck.
Yeah.
Because every fast food place had 8 and 10 cars piled up around it. And it was a fun day for McCook and a fun evening for everyone. And I have a thank you note here that I would like to read because I think this is very important. Words cannot express my gratitude for the city of McCook and its employees. Noel on Norris is a wonderful event for families of all ages, and it can make memories for a lifetime here in McCook. Thank you to Kyle Potthoff and the Public Works Department and all of your hard work helping prepare for this event. I placed several last-minute phone calls about electricities for the tree lights and ice on the stage. The employees took care of the issues immediately and did so with smiles. Thank you to the police and fire department. They kept the parade moving and the citizens safe during this event. Thank you to the city council for allowing us to close the streets, use electricity for the park, and support such a great cause. You are part of a team that makes McCook such a wonderful place to raise a family. And it is so great how this community, everyone works together to get things done. And that's what it's all about. So
that's cool.
Thank you to everyone.
That's great. Maybe I have one of these every couple of weeks, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. In my house, there may be a revolt. So.
I tell you, Sarah did a great job.
Yeah,
she called me up a couple of times each last couple of weeks with all the kind of everything was going on, and I think we need to put her on the payroll.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you, she really enjoys the event, and I know that she remembers when she had young daughters and what she would have liked to have seen at that time. And I think that she's kind of extrapolated that out and added. And it's something that I think that's become a real passion project for her. So she truly loves McCook,
yeah,
and she loves this event. So, yeah, and I knew that she had spent a little bit of time with you on the phone. So she's even conquering some of her fright as far as getting onto the air. So,
She's a natural.
I know. She always, I think she gets nervous about those things, but she does fantastic when she gets onto the radio.
So, Sarah, if you get a phone call from us, you don't be surprised.
Yeah.
We might use you more in the future.
Yeah, I'll make sure that she knows that. So.
Well, as you guys kind of mentioned, it was a short agenda last night, wasn't it?
It was. You know, with Thanksgiving, it kind of moves things back a little bit. We were kind of operating on a skeleton crew the week before this last week. We have a lot of big things that we've got going on right now as well, too. We're still in the middle of the police chief hiring process, and we've got some projects that we're working on. I know I was working on some TIF stuff, trying to get some things updated this past week. And some other things that are just kind of on the horizon right now. And so we kind of kept it light, but we also knew the one topic that we were going to have was a huge topic, and it's something that we've been working on for a year. And so we thought we would just use last night's meeting to devote time to that one topic. And we were fortunate to have Chris Miller and David Blau from Miller & Associates to help discuss the wastewater treatment plant project. This was actually opened up for bid for engineering services. Miller & Associates were selected, and they've been working on this for a year. And Chris had mentioned it's been a very long year trying to get all the data, trying to make sure that they had a good study completed to make sure that they were proposing the best option for the city of McCook with our wastewater treatment needs. And we appreciate all the work they've been putting into this. I don't even know where to start with this. This is a very, very complicated topic. Chris and David did a very good job of breaking it down last night and simplifying it in the easiest terms as possible. Just briefly, the wastewater treatment plant that we have right now, it's getting old. Parts of it were built in the 50s. Parts of it were built in the 70s, so it's about 50 years old now. Our newest building was built in 2004, I think Chris said, so now we're coming up 20 years on the BAF building. We've got a treatment process that was very popular back in the 60s and 70s. I think everybody was using that same treatment process, but I'm just going to use some acronyms here because I'll never remember the full term, but it's the RBC process. So we separate waste that comes from town into liquids and solids. And the RBC process is utilized to go ahead and clean the liquids so that way it can be dispersed into the Republican River. And we have these huge wheels, you know, tons and tons of rotating wheels that we utilize to go ahead and assist with the cleaning process. The problem with these wheels is they're so big they start to break the axles. And so we've lost a number of these wheels, so now we're down to 11. I couldn't tell you what the total number was when we first started. It might have been 15 or 16. But as we lose more wheels, it gets harder and harder to go ahead and clean the water. And there are certain requirements that we have to make sure that we meet per the state and federal guidelines. And so we know it's going to, at some point in time, need to be replaced. And so Miller, and then on the flip side, we also take solids then through our digester process. And one of the issues that we've had with our solids is, in order to dispose of them and comply with the requirements of the Fed and the state, we have to rely on our area farmers to go ahead and take that. And the issue is, because of the liquidity of it, it's got to be tilled. And a lot of times that's not what they're preferring. They prefer no-till. And so it's hard for us to get rid of that waste. And so that's why we actually purchased our fan press. We used some ARPA dollars to purchase a fan press a couple of years ago. We have it. We're in the process of building a building for it. Right now it's in our administrative building in the garage area, but that'll dry that solid material so that way it can be land applied without having to till, or it could actually be taken to the transfer station to dump. That's something that we need to talk about and see if that's a feasibility. But those are the two things that you do with the waste. You either have it in liquid form, then it gets cleaned and it goes into the river, and it's a very strenuous process. We've got to test. We've got to make sure that it's clean enough to go ahead and utilize that river for recreation and whatever the case may be, and then we also have our solids. So now we know that our plant, at some point in time, if we don't do something, is going to fail. So we have to make sure that we're preparing for the future. And so that's what Chris and David have been working on, and they've got a team that's been looking at this, trying to figure out the best method. So they looked at five different options. The first option was to do nothing, which that really isn't an option because at some point in time, like I said, it's going to fail. The other two options, well, I guess there's another option. We could fix what we currently have. The problem with doing that is it's actually very expensive. Like I said, those huge wheels, they're expensive. And there are some other things that would make this a very expensive fix. You'd have to go ahead and deepen the clarifiers because the clarifiers are too shallow and they don't meet modern requirements. And so that was like a $17 or an $18 million fix. The other thing that we had talked about were two new processes, either the MLE process with maintaining the clarifiers or building new clarifiers. I'm not going to go through that process because that was very expensive and probably not a good fit for us. The other one is the let me take a quick look at here. It's the SBR process. And either you can utilize clarifiers or no clarifiers. But the SBR process, basically you have two tanks, and when one tank is filling up, the other tank is actually going through the process of cleaning the waste material, and then the sediment will go ahead and settle. You'll distill the water, and that water then will go ahead and make its way through to the river with a cleaning process that we have set up, and then the sediments then would get pumped back up towards the fan press. We might keep the digesters. We're not quite sure what we do with that. But then we go ahead and have the fan press available to deal with the solids. And like I said, you could go ahead and see if there are any area farmers that would like to go ahead and land a plier. We could take that to the transfer station. So long story short, on the SBR side, there were basically two options. Either you could do it with clarifiers or without clarifiers. If we do it without the clarifiers, it's going to be a little bit cheaper, about $500,000 cheaper. And so that's kind of the way that we're looking right now. And the council actually, after hearing that presentation from Chris and David, they said, yeah, that's probably the best way to move forward with this. The other thing that we had talked about, too, was adding on some of the collector system projects. So there would be a West S Street collector project that we would include with this. There would be a sewer project out towards the ballpark area, the proposed new ballpark area, to go ahead and deal with that waste, and then also some upgrades to our lift stations. There's some control panel work that needs to be done. So all in all, the total dollar figure for this, and I don't want anybody to go ahead and keel over, but it's about $14 million, you know, for the entirety of the project. So that kind of turned the conversation into, so how do we go about doing this without breaking the bank? And that's where we're going to utilize our financial advisors. PFM helps us on a yearly basis kind of develop a plan for these kinds of projects. And we're also talking about the possibility of reaching out to USDA to determine whether or not there may not be some funds available in whatever form that may be. You know, we talked about grants. We talked about loans. We also know right now that the State Revolving Loan Fund program, it's actually utilizing all of its funds for a large project, I believe, in Plattsmouth. And so there aren't any funds available for additional projects until 2025. Our hope is maybe that might be an option by the time we get to build. Chris and David did a good job of setting up a timeline for us, so we kind of know how everything's going to flow. But construction on this project would not occur until 2026 and wouldn't be completed until 2027. And so we've got a little bit of time to try to put the pieces of the puzzle into place. You know, it sounds like 5 years. You know, that's a long ways down the road. It really isn't that long, 4 to 5 years. That'll move fairly quickly. So we've got a lot of things to do between now and then. But it's extremely important. You know, our wastewater treatment plant and our water treatment plant, those are the two most important functions that we provide our citizens. We need to make sure that we get water to our community, and we need to go ahead and carry away the waste from our community. And I know that they aren't seen very frequently. There are probably a lot of people that don't even know where the wastewater treatment plant's located. But without a functioning wastewater treatment plant, you don't have a functioning city. And so it's got to be a priority. One thing that we've learned from talking to Chris is they're going to start requiring the treatment of certain potential elements, whether it's chloride. I can't remember. He had a list of it that he'd kind of gone through. But that's probably going to be coming down the pipe here pretty soon. So we need to make sure that we do make this adjustment so we can treat for the things that the Fed and the state are going to say that, hey, you're going to have to make sure that when you're putting this water into the Republican, you've taken into consideration and treated these particular elements. And so there are just a lot of things that are at work and in motion right now. But last night was important because the council had an opportunity to read. There was a very well-written report that went along with the presentation and just explained everything in detail why Miller & Associates is making the recommendation that they're making. And then also they did a very good PowerPoint, and they broke it into the simplest terms that you possibly can. There's a lot of technical jargon that goes along with this, so I'm kind of leaving some stuff out. But needless to say, the council did approve the path that we're going on. We are going to look at USDA as a potential funding source, and we're going to start this process moving forward right now.
Mayor?
Well, we put 700 gallons a day of water into the Republican. So where did it all go?
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm thinking 700 gallons a day is a lot of water, but that was an interesting figure. The other thing is they're building for a potential of McCook growth of about 400 people. Well, we need to be ready for growth because I'm certain that our community is going to grow. So these were things of being proactive for McCook, and that's very important that we do that and be a step ahead instead of behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Chris said that he thinks that we're one of only two cities that still use an RBC wastewater system.
Right.
which means that we probably are behind the times a little bit, and we do need to play catch up. One of the things, just kind of thinking through this process, is where do you put the new equipment so that way it doesn't step on the toes of the old equipment? And so we're pretty compact down there at the wastewater treatment plant site. There's not a lot of extra space, but this design, the SBR design that we're discussing, it's actually going to take up a little bit less space because you got the two holding tanks, and then you would have the building that would hold the fan press. It would get rid of all the pump houses. It'd get rid of all the clarifiers. One of the things we had talked about last night was utilizing the main building that houses the wheels that we were talking about, those huge wheels, and maybe making that into a storage facility, and not just for wastewater and water, but maybe we could go ahead and store some of our public works equipment and other high dollar items, so that way they're out of the elements and available for a longer period of time. And so that actually was factored into this project as well too, trying to repurpose some of the buildings. One of the things we talked about was the bath building that was built in 2004. That is the aerobic process to get rid of some of the ammonia that's required per state and federal statutes. That building, we haven't been able to figure out a use for it yet. I'd made the suggestion, and Jared said the same thing. I said, oh, maybe we could go ahead and use this as a deer stand, because it's right off the Republican. Rent out space. I don't know. I think it might be Hartwell's property down there. They may not like that all that much, but it's right on the very south end. Trying to come up with a way to repurpose these buildings, it's kind of difficult. Now the big building is fairly easy, as far as trying to envision how you might be able to retro that, and that's about a $400,000 retro project. They already built that into the price of the project, but some of these other buildings, we'd like to figure out a way to repurpose it, but we're still kind of working through those processes. We would keep the UV station and we would keep the cascade system. Those two for sure would be maintained, but the clarifiers, the RBCs themselves, not the building, but the RBCs and the BAF building, we're still trying to figure out. And we may keep the digesters. We're not 100% positive with that. It just kind of depends on what the future studies show, whether or not that'd be a good thing to continue to keep or not. For sure, everything's going to get pumped up to the north, though. So everything's going to be kind of situated on the west side of the property, but there will be a system of pipes that will allow us to pump up the solids to the north end where the fan press is going to be stationed. So, and that fan press is going to be a marvelous piece of equipment. I didn't realize this, but Chris had said at one point in time we did have a fan press when the plant was first built in the 70s, and he said he doesn't know what happened with it. For some reason, we just don't have the fan press anymore. But that fan press is going to make it a lot easier for us to get rid of our waste. And so we just got to figure out a way to make sure that we get it there. We actually, this last year, Mayor Taylor and some other council members and city staff members, we went up and looked at Lexington and Broken Bow's facilities. And this facility is very similar to Broken Bow's facility. We talked to some of their utility people up in Broken Bow to ask them about whether they like this system or not. They said they really liked it a lot. One of the things that they had suggested that we do with our plant, and Chris and David have suggested, at the headworks, we need to make sure that we've got a grinding system to make sure that we eliminate some of the large particles that would be accumulated due to the fact that it really does kind of require some serious maintenance. One of the things they had mentioned was if you don't do proper headworks and get these things ground down to smaller particles, there's going to be a lot of hand shoveling. And we want to try to avoid as much hand shoveling as possible. So we do need to have the proper equipment at the headworks to make sure that we get this ground down as fine as we possibly can. So.
Then you go rock, paper, scissors. Who's going to do that?
Yeah, right. Yeah, the city manager. Yeah. They're all going to vote for the city manager. But
you said a timetable, I think you mentioned, you're 5 years?
2027 is okay. Kind of the end of the build-out. I think that they built in a little extra time as well, too, but 27 is kind of where they're thinking. 26 would be where they would like to see it start to build out. I'm going to guess 27 would be when completion would occur. That's mm-hmm. the timeline that we have. But there's a lot of things that need to happen before that. And like I said, on the financing side, we need to figure out what does this mean for the ratepayers. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. We'll be working with PFM to start doing our calculations for this upcoming year's rates on the water and the wastewater side. This will be a part of that discussion as well, too, trying to figure out exactly what this means. You know, we know that there's going to be an increase, but we want to try to limit the increase as far as what the ratepayers are going to have to pay. But if we don't do this, there will be no community to live in. And so, like I said, we have a lot of important functions. Don't get me wrong. We've got police, we've got fire, but the very basic human needs of water and disposing of wastewater, and I'm also going to include trash out of the transfer station. Sometimes we kind of forget about the transfer station, but the transfer station, you got to get rid of those solid waste too. Those are three things that have to be in a city in order to have an operable town. And so this, to me, is probably the biggest project that we're talking about that we're working on. And we've got a lot of great projects, whether it's a pool or a ballpark or, you know, some housing developments or commercial developments or street projects. But this has to be priority because you don't have a town without waste removal.
All right. Anything else, Mayor, on this?
You know what? This is going to be a great thing. Now, one thing I want to mention is chloride. That's one of the things they pointed out last night, that the numbers are going to change for us, and we're going to have to address that. And they said if we would set our water softeners on 17 grams, if everybody in McCook would do that, because if you have it turned up really, really high, that can make a difference of what goes into our wastewater treatment. So everybody look at your water softener and set it on 17 grams to help out a little bit.
Okay. We kind of skipped right to the regular agenda. Announcement, anything or announcements, recognitions last night?
No, Mayor Taylor had read that letter.
Okay.
And then I think that Councilmember Whedon had also expressed his appreciation for the people that got Noel on Norris up and operating. So it was last night was a, it was a good council meeting because it gave us an opportunity to really focus on one important topic.
Right.
I was actually kind of glad that we only had the one item on there because this is something that we really need to pay close attention to and work through. It's the biggest project that we're contemplating doing right now.
How about the contract amendment for the McCook Swimming Pool?
Okay, what it is they do not know if they can get all of the electronics, all the parts that they need. They have let us know that it may be beyond the date that they had set to have it, which was the end of May. It may go further into the summer. But if it does, it's not Crothers' problem. It's the fact we couldn't get what we needed to make it work. And we find this all the time. You can order something and it will deliver it in a year. What?
Yeah. Yep.
What?
But they're hopeful that they can go ahead and get everything
done.
Are. They're realistic as far as some of the supply chain issues that they're facing. I talked to Sharon Bowling last night. Our plan is to go ahead and hopefully get everything done by that Memorial Day deadline that we had originally looked at. But also, we need to be realistic. You know, if you can't get the equipment in or the supplies in that you need, you got to be patient and get those things. It's just the way of the world right now. Hopefully it'll change here soon, but that's just the way it is. So Carruthers had asked for the change. It has nothing to do with Carruthers, you know, work. I mean, those guys are fantastic. They're out there all the time. I was out there. I drove past there, I think, on Sunday when it was so crummy outside and it had rained in the morning and really windy. And those guys were still out there working on that day. They've actually pulled a second crew from another job to help them build out McCook's project. I mean, this is a big project. This is going to be a real cool swimming pool. I mean, even Carruthers had told us this is one of the biggest pools that they've done. This is a big project. Big projects take some time. There are a lot of moving parts. We had to get, you know, all the permits from the state of Nebraska, which that takes time. You know, they've got to go through and review and make sure that they're comfortable with the drawings and the specs. And so we're moving forward. There will be a pool this upcoming year. It's just a matter of hopefully getting all the equipment and supplies and everything that we need to have it as fast as we want it. But patience is a virtue, you know, and it's hard. You know, I struggle with it, but we can only move as fast as God is willing to allow us to move. And so we will keep on working on this, and hopefully we'll be up and running on Memorial Day.
And then much more on the facility plan, I'm sure, in meetings to come. There'll be every now and then.
Yeah, we've got a lot of projects going on right now, and a lot of behind-the-scenes projects as well, too. So, again, there's some great things going on. Last week, Mayor Taylor and I had an opportunity to go to a ribbon cutting for Performance Plus. So the industrial park second phase is underway right now. We've been moving forward with some of the residential projects. We've been bidding some things out for North Point. I know that we're talking about the reservation project. It's about ready to take off here fairly quickly. All those things take a little bit of time. I'm getting special exception requests and things like that. So there are a lot of people that are wanting to do things in our community. Anytime you see a special exception, typically it means that somebody's wanting to do something. And so we've got a lot of really neat things going on, you know, and we also have our comprehensive plan and zoning study that we're working on right now. We were communicating with Miller and Associates yesterday, trying to find some time at the beginning of January to start trying to incorporate some of our suggestions for the zoning regulations into what they're doing for the comp and zoning stuff. So we are we're knee deep in about 100 different projects, but it's a good thing. I was kind of looking at my calendar today. I was like, holy cow, we got a lot of stuff coming up. But it's a good thing. It means that we're growing and we're doing things the right way.
Never a dull day at the city offices.
No. Never. And that's on top of doing the maintenance stuff.
There you go.
You know, like Mayor Taylor had said, you know, for an event like Noel on Norris, there are a lot of people over on the city side that are involved with that are kind of behind the scenes that nobody sees, mm-hmm. you know, but they're there doing these things in order to make sure that we've got everything prepared for an event like that. So,
any council comments last night?
No, we pretty much covered everything, except I'd like to remind everybody to shop local mm-hmm. during the holiday season, because our LB 840 money is very important to us. We use that for a lot of projects here in McCook, and I know the EDC uses that to help out with projects. And, you know, we can all go to North Platte and Kearney because we all enjoy a day out of town. But just remember, it's your sales tax dollars spent in McCook that turn around 9 times in McCook. So please shop local.
I hope to see as many cars as we saw on Saturday all throughout the holiday mm-hmm. season. That was nuts. You know, like Mayor Taylor was saying, driving around McCook, looking at all the restaurants that evening, I mean, it was packed.
Yeah. I'm sure they were very, very happy over that.
Yeah, I hope that it just continues. I mean, it's a benefit to everyone in our community. And sometimes we do kind of focus on the Kearneys or the North Platts. McCook's got a lot to offer, mm-hmm. you know, and we've got some really neat things here as well, too, you know, and some shopping opportunities and some restaurants and things that I think make McCook a unique destination. So we're fortunate to have what we have, and we're always happy when people, you know, in surrounding counties and communities come to McCook and choose McCook for their shopping needs. We really appreciate that. It takes all of us to make Southwest Nebraska a special place to live.
Next meeting on the 20th.
Yeah, it sounds right. Yep.
Anything in between?
Planning Commission meeting next week.
On the 13th.
Yep, we've got a special exception request.